Today on The Journey.
Respectable describes a person whose orderly outward life is a reflection of inner stability. A respectable person, in the biblical sense of the word, lives from the inside out.
What frames your internal world? Are the thoughts and intents of your heart a cluttered structure of wood, hay, and stubble? Or does precious metal and costly stone form the building blocks of your life? Well, Ron Moore is here to offer construction tips from the Word of God. It's advice that will ensure your character and legacy stand strong against the tests of time. We'll get to that right after a brief word about Ron's daily devotional titled Journey Through the Gospels. In these 365 reflections, you'll discover truths about Jesus and yourself that you may have never seen before. Journey Through the Gospels is available for a donation of any amount, and you'll find it on the web at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a message titled, Living My Influence on the Journey.
We're involved in a series of sermons focusing on legacy. When it's all said and done, when the last chapter of our life has been written, when the book on our life has been closed, what are we going to leave behind? What kind of impact will our lives have made? How will we be remembered by those who knew us up close and personal? Charles Spurgeon said this: a good character is the best tombstone. Those who loved you and who were helped by you will remember you when forget-me-nots have withered. Carve your name on hearts, not marble. It's good stuff, isn't it? Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Timothy. We are using the character traits found in 1 Timothy chapter 3 as a framework for our study. Paul says, first, here's a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. This passage is primarily for those who are going to lead in the church, but it doesn't stop there. These characteristics are for all of us. And Paul says, if anyone sets his heart, that word means to stretch yourself out to grasp something. Give everything you've got. If anyone does that, it's a good thing. It's a noble thing that he desires. And so the first thing we saw was a passionate desire to be an influencer. Don't you want that? Here's the second characteristic. The overseer must be above reproach. We looked at that word. It does not mean perfect, but it means one who cannot be taken hold of, one who has no handles of scandal, one who lives their life in a way that when accusations are brought against them, it doesn't stick. Must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife. And there we saw that this person who's going to make an impact has to be faithful to his wife, faithful to lead their family in a way that's significant. Verse 4, he must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. And Paul goes on to say, in parentheses, if anyone doesn't know how to manage his own family, then how in the world is he going to take care of the church of God? How in the world is he going to take care of his business? How in the world is he going to be an influence to anyone if he can't take care of those in his home? Paul goes on to say that we need to be above reproach, a husband and one wife. Last time we looked at temperate and self-controlled. Temperance, we saw, rules out patterns of rash action, and self-control rules out patterns of excess in our life. And so we use the word balance, a balanced lifestyle. Here's one we're going to look at today. Respectable. Seems pretty straightforward, doesn't it? If you're going to make an impact, if you're going to leave a legacy, you have to be respectable. Now, when we read that word respectable, a lot of things come to our mind. We think of things that are good and proper. We think that person is a respectable citizen. They pay their taxes. They always work hard at their job. Some will think of some merit or importance, a respectable performance. And other times we think of an adequate number or amount, a respectable turnout. The word respectable makes us think of words like moral and virtuous and reputable and nice and polite and proper. How often do you hear parents talk about the boy their daughter is dating and they say, he is so nice and polite. By the way, don't let him fool you on that. We measure a person's respectability by what we see on the outside. And that's fair because all we see is on the outside. But as we look at this word, we're not using it to judge other people. We want to evaluate our own hearts. And the deal is this. When Paul uses this word respectable, he's looking at something deeper than things people do on the outside. The word in Scripture is from the Greek word kosmion, coming from the Greek word kosmos, meaning ordered and properly adorned. The word takes in all those visible things that we do and then asks the questions, why do you do those things? What's the driving force? Why are you doing what you do? The word takes what we do on the outside and drives deep into the soul until it hits a spiritual foundation. And then we determine why. Respectable describes a person whose orderly outward life is a reflection of inner stability. A respectable person, in the biblical sense of the word, lives from the inside out. The characteristics that we see on the outside represent the good things going on the inside. Now, again, we've got to be careful here, and we're not doing this to judge other people because we all know that there are some people, and you look at them from the outside, and man, they look so nice, and they live their life to impress other people. They're people pleasers, and they want to look good, and they want to be celebrated before other people. To them, that's what being respectable is all about. But again, this biblical word drives down deep. We're not talking about a person who volunteers to coach their kids' rec team or serves on the school board or uses their snowblower to clear the neighbor's drives or bake cookies for a family who moves in across the street. Those are cool things. But again, what's the motive behind what we do? You see, when the motive isn't right, it always shows up sooner or later on the outside. That's what Paul says in 1 Timothy Chapter 5, verse 24, the sins of some men are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. But what's the point of the verse? You're going to see them sooner or later. Now, the opposite of that's true. In the same way, verse 25, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not cannot be hidden. You're going to see sooner or later what's going on the inside of a person. You see, being respectable instead of appearing respectable starts with an inner spiritual stability that demonstrates itself in a balanced life at home and at work and at school and in the community. Here's a characteristic of a person whose life is founded as a bedrock with a passionate love for Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. They're about Jesus. And then everything else flows from that. They're not about themselves. They're about Christ. He's the bedrock. And then life flows. Their soul burns for Christ, and the fire is observable in the actions and activities of their life. How do we build that characteristic? What needs to be happening in our life so that it shows up as respectable? What are the things we need to know? What are the things we need to do? I think there are three building blocks for this characteristic of respectable. Let's go through them. First of all, if we are going to have the characteristic of being respectable in the biblical sense, it has to start with a respect for God. My outward life is a reflection of my inner stability, and that always begins with God. Now, respect for God is seen a lot of different ways in Scripture. Mostly it's seen by this phrase, the fear of God, or fearing God. And fearing God is to have an honor for Him. It doesn't mean to be balled up in a corner, terrified of this person of God. Rather, it is a respect. It is an honor of Him. It is an awe of God. And that awe is demonstrated in the actions of our life, living in obedience to His Word. You see, we can say we respect God and we love God and we're in awe of Him all we want, but if it's not showing up in the details of my life, then I'm blowing smoke. Honor and respect and awe are demonstrated by living in obedience. Proverbs 9:10 says this, the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Scripture says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of God is where we begin to understand who He is and who we are. And it's the fear of God that gives us courage. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children have a refuge. You see, as parents, it's not just that we have that strong confidence, but we pass it on to our kids. So let's think about this God that we serve. Who is He? And what are some of His characteristics? I won't go through all of them, but let me just give you a few. First of all, review for most of you, God is eternal. He has no beginning or end. Psalm 90, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Never was a time when God wasn't. There never will be a time when He isn't. God is eternal. That blows our mind. There is no compartment in our mind for that. He's beyond us. He is eternal. And you know what that means? He will never leave you. Never. Because He's always there. Secondly, He's independent. God depends on no person or no thing. Who can fathom, Isaiah said, the Spirit of the Lord, or instruct the Lord as His counselor? Who did the Lord consult to enlighten Him? And who taught Him the right way? Who was it that taught Him knowledge or showed Him the path of understanding? Three rhetorical questions. Answer, no one. Because God is independent. He doesn't depend on governments to get the job done. He doesn't depend on military. He doesn't depend on economies. Nothing will thwart God's plan. He's independent. God is immutable. He is unchanging and unchangeable. He says it in Malachi chapter 3, I, the Lord, do not change. And His Son, Jesus Christ, is the same. Hebrews says, yesterday, today, and forever. God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. Jeremiah chapter 32:17, all sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and earth by your great power. Nothing is too hard for you. Think about that. Characteristic of God, but applied in our life, we realize that whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, nothing is too hard for this all-powerful God we serve. He is omnipresent. God's not limited by space or time. Psalm 139 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I take my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. We cannot escape His presence. Now, sometimes that's irritating, isn't it? Because we wish we could. But most of the time, it's the most comforting thing in the world, because I can't go anyplace where God isn't. And He's there to help me, because nothing's too hard for Him. A couple more. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. Job 37 says his knowledge is perfect. And God is righteous. God acts in accordance with what is right and is himself the final standard for what is right. Deuteronomy says this, Deuteronomy 32:4, he is the rock, his ways are perfect, all his ways are just, a faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. He is righteous. Everything God does is right. Everything God does is just. A.W. Tozer, in his great book, Knowledge of the Holy, says this, the Christian religion has to do with God and man, but the focal point is God, not man. Man's only claim to importance is that he was created in divine image. In himself, he's nothing. And so the first thing that we have to have as that inner foundation to live a respectable life is a knowledge of who God is, an understanding that he is God. He is eternal. He's all-knowing. He's all-loving. He is omnipresent. He is all-powerful. Nothing's too hard from him. And everything he does is right. And when I have that basis, then I have a true honor and awe and respect for him. And when I can respect God, then I can live a respectable life. Here's a second thing. Biblical self-respect. Now, I want to be careful on this one. We think of self-respect as self-worth or self-esteem, and I don't want to get into any pop psychology here. And I get the fact that there needs to be some self-worth and self-esteem in our lives. I get that. But there's something deeper than that. Now, I got to admit to you that this is a biblical area I have struggled with all my life. I had great parents, and they loved me with an unconditional love. As screwed up as I am, nothing was their fault. I can promise you that. But the church I grew up in was very performance-based, legalistic. And because of that theology that was taught, I grew up believing that God accepted me because of what I did. And if I didn't do what he wanted me to do, then he didn't accept me. And so in my growing up years, I could be in the family of God in the morning, but have a bad noon and be out by afternoon. And it went on like that for a long time. It's a tough way to live. It's all performance based, very legalistic. I took that mentality, and I played a lot of athletics in high school, went to a small school, so I played football and basketball and baseball. And that performance mentality then became part of who I was, because if I performed well on the field, then I felt good about myself. But if I didn't, my self-worth took a dive when I didn't have a great game, or I played baseball in college, when my batting average wasn't what it was, then I felt good if I was hitting and bad if I wasn't. And again, it became a part of who I was. Now, it's important for us to do things we enjoy, and we get self-esteem from that, but it's got to be deeper. And here are two practical problems with this performance-driven mentality. Number one, it puts me on a roller coaster. If I had a good day, I feel good. If I don't have a good day, I don't feel good. And secondly, if I am basing how I feel on what I do, then one of these days, what I am basing my self-worth on is going to be gone. We have to be those who know that we are worthy, not because of what we do, but because of one thing, and that's who we are in Jesus Christ. And if we could get that, our lives would change. So let's think of the things that we are in Christ. Number one, we are redeemed. Jesus Christ has come. We've been redeemed not with perishable things such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from your empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. We have been redeemed. When we trust in Jesus Christ alone, we stand before God. He declares us not guilty because Jesus has taken your sins, and he clothes us, Scripture says, with righteousness. And nothing can change that. Not my good day or my bad day. Number two, I'm secure. Now, that's the best news I ever heard, because I grew up believing I could lose my salvation. But when I learned that God holds me in his hand and nothing can snatch me out of his hand, John chapter 10 or Romans 8, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's good news, isn't it? I'm secure. Because God's love for me is unconditional. That means I can't do anything to make him love me more. I can't do anything to make him love me less. It's a perfect love. It doesn't get any better. Next one, I'm forgiven. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. Micah says that he takes our sins and he throws them into the depths of the sea. The writer of the Hebrews says he remembers our sin no more. Think about that. We have a hard time forgiving ourselves, don't we? And we have a hard time forgiving others. But the all-knowing God chooses to take our sins and remember them no more. The next one, I am significant. Not because of who I am. I'm nothing in myself. But I am significant because of who I am in Jesus Christ. One person says it like this: I'm not significant because of who I am, but whose I am. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has great things for you to do. You're significant, not because of who you are, but because who God is. We belong to him. So if we have respect for God, true fear of him, then we'll have the proper biblical self-respect, knowing that we're forgiven, that we're significant. Then all that going on inside, right, shows up in respectable actions. Remember, biblical respectability is an outward expression of inward stability. It's Jesus who said, you're a city built on a hill. Let your light shine in such a way that people will see your good works and what? Not say, great job you, but glorify your Father who is in heaven. When you have it on the inside, that's where it's got to start. Then it begins to show up on the outside.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Would you like to sense the anticipation of the people as Jesus stood up to preach? Would you like to feel the joy and wonder as the scales fell from the eyes of the man born blind? Would you like to see Jesus for the first time all over again? Well, that can be your everyday experience with Ron Moore's devotional titled Journey Through the Gospels. In these 365 insightful meditations, Ron takes you on a challenging journey through the life of Christ. Along the way, Jesus will touch your soul and spirit with life-changing truths and tender affection. Journey Through the Gospels is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
The word hospitable comes from two Greek words, philo, love, and xenos, strangers, loving the stranger. Throughout Scripture, hospitality is a characteristic of a godly person.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please drop by our website to order your copy of Journey Through the Gospels. This daily devotional will enrich your walk with the Savior and increase your understanding of his life and ministry. Journey Through the Gospels is available for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Also, we invite you to join Ron Moore on the 2020 Biblical Encounter Tour in Israel this coming April. There, you'll experience the power and presence of Christ as you journey through his homeland, recalling his ministry and miracles in Galilee and Jerusalem. Your faith will be strengthened as you touch the land and the lives of those who laid the foundation of the Church of Jesus Christ. The registration deadline and final payment are due January 10th. Visit ronmoore.org for more information. Again, that address is ronmoore.org. Join us for the trip of a lifetime. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.